My people, what up though? We live with an episode of All Black Men Need Therapy. My name is Chief.
And I'm Bell.
My name is Prentice.
And here we go. We are currently at the King Center Hall of Fame on the campus of Morehouse, African American Hall of Fame, at Morehouse right now. And we are excited to be here. We're happy. We got a live. We got some live tapings today. It's gonna be dope, man. How y'all feeling, fellas? Let's start there.
A little adversity this morning, but
a little bit. We'll talk about it in the recap.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that in the recap. But all is going well. So yo, let's get right into it, man. Let's start with the check-ins. P, you up first, man. How you feeling? How you living? Check in, B.
I'm good overall, man. Super busy. Just super busy, bro. Like, super busy. Working. Literally working in the aspect of what that means for me in my life. But, like, I'm working right now.
Trying to have a business.
So, I'm good. I'm just working hard.
Bellhead, check in. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. Feels good to be out here with y'all. It was dope to see y'all both rock the stage last night. You know what I'm saying? I gained a greater appreciation for the spoken word art. It was good, man. I'm in a good spot, man. Work is going well. Finally clicking there. Life is good, man. No complaints.
No doubt. I got an interesting one for y'all. To start with, I just got back from Brazil. That was dope, you know, performing out in Brazil, which was crazy. Such a great time. But that was fire. We can recap that some other time. It's nothing really to tell you, but it was a dope experience. However, I do need to inform y'all, man. I did some soul searching, and I reached out to my uncle, my father's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And
I told him. Thought y'all was cool.
We are.
Yeah.
But I told him that I was interested in moving towards reconciliation, but I wanted to start with him.
Okay.
Mm.
So I want to speak with my uncle and sit down and have a conversation about what he can tell me about how they grew up and their father being in their life and so on and so forth.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying?
What brought that enlightenment?
You know, just kind of sitting back and just reflecting. It was something I saw on television maybe. It might have been a recap with somebody and their dad or whatever, but it made me be like, yo, like, it's time, bro. And then, so I shared my Who Am I poem, and the line in the poem is like, I'm the only child my father didn't raise. So my sister reaches out to me, and she's like, you know, I think we should, you know, have a conversation. Like, it's so funny. I was literally, when she reached out, I was texting her, seeing if she wanted to be the next one up for me to have a conversation with. You know what I'm saying? Because he raised her, was in her life. You know what I'm saying? So, and she said something along the lines of, like, I'm sick of hearing the same story or the same version or something like that. And I didn't let it trigger me, but it's like, yo, like, you can't fault me. You can't fault me for sharing my experience. And because it's not yours with the same person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And she's like, you know, he's a really solid dude. Like, he's a good dude. He just, you know, makes some mistakes as a father. And my mom said the same thing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm just like, well, I don't know either one of them. You know what I'm saying? I don't know the father or the dude.
You dig
what I'm saying?
Similar to your situation, right, P?
This is a trip that you're saying that because I'm at the same space right now with my dad.
Really?
Yeah. So I have a 13-year-old little sister.
We talked about that.
Right. So Faith, she found me. I don't know if we talked about that after the Grammys. She had caught wind of it, and she reached out to me and hit me. So since then, I've been talking to her. And since then, she's been talking to my kids. And to hearing her are a couple of months apart. So they talk all the time now. They talk all the time, like daily. And I talk to her like every other day. So what's been happening lately, which is a trip, is I've been saying to myself, I got to have a conversation with him. I got to talk to him because I want to go get my little sister.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Right. So I feel like I'm getting closer, but what she's been doing since we had that conversation, what she's been doing is, so I found a picture of me and my dad, the only picture I got of me and my dad. I posted it up on Instagram.
Yeah, it looks just like
you. Yeah, I'm his clone for real. So I had sent it to her because I wasn't sure if she's ever seen that picture, you know, let alone seen what my dad looked like before he got burnt in the fire, you know what I mean? So I send her the picture, and then I'm gonna show y'all, she sent me a picture back of this table, and it's like, probably like 10 pictures of me on this family table of me and him, me and my sisters, like picture that I sent her. And she did this like 2 days ago. And I was like, what is this? She was like, oh, this is on the table in the living room. I was like, he has all these pictures of me up on this table? And she's like, yeah. And so it's making me be like, okay, I'm a lot like my, I always say this shit, like I'm a lot like my pops. Like, he puts off this demeanor like it's fuck you, you know what I mean? But he got all these pictures of me on the table still, you know what I mean? And I think it's more so of like a defense mechanism. Yeah. You know, just like mine is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a defense mechanism that I've been on this hardcore where it was fuck me, fuck you too. But really, I don't really want to hold that, and I don't want to feel like that. So it's a trip that you're talking about going through to your uncle, because I find myself, the more I talk to my sister, I feel like it's gravitating me more to have a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, listen, bro, I don't want to be on this with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's figure out, not necessarily figure out, but I'm starting to feel compelled to be like, to let him know that I don't want to be on no ill shit with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's interesting you saying that, because I'm listening to you like, huh? I don't know what season we in.
I don't know what my intention is. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I can sit back and go, I'm not on some, because I don't think I've ever been on any ill thing, because you and your pop have had some very difficult conversations, right, and exchanges. Right. I haven't had that. So I don't really know what the aim is, but I just think it's a form of closure or opening a door that has been closed for so long. You know what I'm saying? I can't really figure out what it is, but I feel like it needs to be done. And I think I'm at a space now through the various conversations that we've had that, like, I've healed enough and I'm capable enough to have this conversation. Like I said, with my sister, I can't remember the words she said, but it was something along like I'm tired of hearing
the same
story from basically. It's not, yeah,
because
like
that's
me.
Not her story.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also talking about someone that she admires,
looks like
totally
different. Adores. Yeah, because right. He raised her.
So I'm talking about her guy.
Yeah, that's how, you know, it is with me too. So
that'd be like if Peaches had a kid that she didn't take care of.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting being in that space, because you want to respect. It's the same dynamic with us. Like, my dad raised all of his other children but me, and I want to respect my sisters. You know, like, my one of them, we don't click well because of how she views him and how I do. I want to respect their space, but at the same time, I feel like they don't understand my position. You know what I mean? Like, this cat has been nothing but shit to me. You know what I'm saying? I get he's a different man to you. But it's weird trying to balance that and navigate that with your own issues and then respect how they look at your father. I don't know. It's funny.
So my uncle said he was willing to sit down and have a conversation, and I thought about, like, documenting it. And he was like, yeah, if you want to, whatever. And I thought about doing that. And then talking to my sister briefly, she was like, yeah, well, I don't know if Pop's going to be, you know, willing to document it, but he'll definitely have the conversation.
Yeah,
I don't need it to be documented. But I think it's important. Like, yo, think about the healing that comes with this and how it can empower and inspire someone else. Like, I'm 43.
Forget about that for a second. Here's what I know is going to happen. You're going to see a lot of you in him.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that.
You're going to see a lot of you in him. Just like Prentice, just that was the epiphany he had in viewing those pictures. You're gonna see a lot of you and him. And it's probably gonna make you nervous a little bit.
Maybe. But did I tell you what happened when I first saw him?
Mm-mm.
So I always had this thing in my head where, like, I would be like, if I could walk by this man every day and not know who he is.
Yeah, you say that, right? Often.
So this was a couple months after my brother passed away. My mom she was really adamant about, like, filling that void for me by connecting me with my brother on my dad's side.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So I've spoken and seen my uncle.
You got a brother on your dad's side?
Sister and brother, yeah.
I was just about to say that.
I didn't know about your sister and your uncle.
No, no, no.
I didn't know you
had a brother. Remember,
you never knew?
He was with me. No, that was Ty. Mm. Ty went with me to his house in West Palm.
Oh, okay. I always thought about your uncle. I didn't know you had a brother. How old is your brother?
42.
Oh.
Banks is 42?
Like you
and me. We're not too far apart. Yeah. Banks is 42. We got two nephews.
You always talk about your sister. That's the thing.
Right. I've talked to my bro. We talk.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So.
Or you know.
I forgot my point, what I was trying to say. Where was I going with that?
Don't know.
Damn, my bad, bro. I didn't mean to side.
No. So I was talking to my sister, my uncle, documenting. I can't remember. But.
Thought, though. I don't think the documentation of that is a bad idea. It's just a matter of, Like, you're coming from a different space, I think. And I think it's dope to document it because it's kind of like journaling, you know what I mean? But not everybody is comfortable with being a part of your documentation. You know what I'm saying? I think that would be the only roadblock to that is that.
What I was in the process of saying was when I saw him for the first time. So him and my uncle, my mom, my brother come to my job. They call me downstairs, like somebody's here. I'm like, all right, whatever. I open the door. I see my uncle, my mom, my brother. Mm-hmm. So I open the door, and I'm like holding the door here, and I'm standing in front of the door. My dad's behind the door. I don't see him. So my uncle walks in, my mom walks in, my brother walks in, and then I get ready to take a step forward, and he grabs the door. And I turn around, and it's literally like looking into my own eyes.
Y'all look just alike?
No, but from here up.
They do. He's like
from like right here up, like same wrinkles in the forehead, same like eyebrow structure. It was literally like looking into my own eyes, and I kind of like jumped in my skin a little bit. And I was like, that's my dad. Like I instantly knew.
Damn, really?
It was like looking into.
And that was your first time seeing him?
First time seeing him in person.
How old were you?
31.
Damn.
So wait, when you saw him, what'd you do? Did you hug him?
No, shook his hand. I don't think I shook his hand. I kind of looked at him and kind of like jumped in my skin a little bit. And then we walked up to my office.
Y'all didn't speak or acknowledge each other?
I might have said hello. I can't remember. I know that night we talked to my office. Like, come over that night. I made him some dinner. We talked, and that's when he said what he said. And
is that the last time you seen him?
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen him once?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. I was trying to find my phone, but I'll show you the picture, and it's like you could see it. Like if you looked, just if you blocked everything, looked right here, you would like be. It's like looking into my eyes.
Did it feel awkward?
In that moment, hell yeah, because I always said I would walk by this dude and not know who he is. And when I saw him, I'm like, there's no way I could walk by this man and not see myself in him. Mm. So if I didn't know, if he wasn't attached to my mom, my brother, my uncle, and I walked by him on the street, I'd definitely do one of these, like,
right,
like, do I know you? Like, that type of thing.
That's wild.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you know me? Do you
Which
know
is, and the wild
name?
Part about that is, if I show you my uncle on my dad's side, and I show you my uncle on my mom's side, I look exactly like both of them, and they look nothing alike, which is the craziest thing.
Your genetics, man.
Word.
So do I not?
Work.
My Uncle Trevor and my Uncle Jeffrey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you talking about, you look just like your Uncle Jeffrey.
Right, but I'm saying, and if you look at my Uncle Trevor, you'd be like, oh, I can see it.
I mean, I've only seen your Uncle Trevor once, but I see it, though. I mean, I know what you're talking about.
So, do you think it's a comfort thing going through your uncle before you go to your father?
Absolutely. Because
that gives you context.
Even in the brief conversation with my sister, there were things like, well, you know, he's like reassuring, he's not that guy. You know what I'm saying? He's not that dude. Like, he's a really good dude. He just, you know, had some mishaps or whatever. And I'm like, yo, I don't doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know. My mom was 20, so he had to be 21, 22-ish. I want to say he might be
young.
I don't even know how old he is. That's wild.
But the thing is, it's not like, I wonder how your brother's experience with him.
And again, that's a conversation we can have with him too. But I know.
Have you talked to him about your pops?
Not necessarily. When I met with my sister, we sat down, we talked about like the family lineage and all that good stuff and Dominica and St. Thomas and all that, but we never had an actual conversation about.
I wasn't black.
About my dad, which is wild because Shema and I talked for hours.
That's why
on top of hours, we haven't necessarily had an in-depth conversation about my pops. You talk about everybody else in the family.
Do you see any similarities in you two?
A little bit. She's more like the wild card in the family, though. She's literally like a nomad. Like, she's been like all over the place. Mm. Every time I talk to her, she's in a different country, different state. Like, she's on her move. Like, she's like the wild card in the family. Like, she's real outspoken and like say what she feel. Like I said, really? She's very much so. I said what I said.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting. I feel like I've always kind of like wished that out of the sisters I had a brother, because I feel like with the disconnect with me and my pops, I would get a little bit more clarity and understanding. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's a trip that you have a brother by your dad. Mm-hmm. And
do you have my phone?
Like in my head, I think I would be like gravitated a lot more knowing that I had a brother, because I feel like I'd get some more understanding because
how
we
it
come
was
from
growing
a,
up as a little boy.
Well, no, just like maybe of myself even. You know what I'm saying? Because we're brothers and we're men and we have the same father. You get what I'm saying? So I think I may be a little curious if I had a brother to engage more on that level with him. So I'm surprised you ain't really did that. Again, especially because it's a brother. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So, I mean, I talked to my bro. We talk about, you know, us and whatever. He got two boys playing AAU ball and whatnot. I went down. I can't remember what I was down there for, but Yop was with me.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
And we went to the store, got my nephew some stuff for the AAU season or whatever. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But, like, I don't remember why I was in West Palm Beach. But I know Yop was with me, which was weird.
JJ's tournament, maybe, or something like that?
I don't know, because Yop met him.
It's a long check-in.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I mean, sometimes this ends up being an episode.
Yeah.
So let's keep this train rolling. I almost want to be like, yo, I like need y'all there because you would be able to like kind of level me out and balance me out a little bit because I already feel it going in a way where like I could almost, you see how I hold on to shit, you know what I'm saying? Like in my head right now, the only thing that matters to me is that he said, I told your mother not to have you. And I can't, like I'm not having, I haven't shaken that.
Yo, I would start with that. And I don't think you need us there. I think that's something that you got to experience on your own.
Yep, you got to have a moment.
And whatever emotions you have mm-hmm. during that time is the ones you're supposed to have, bro.
And you're collected enough, I feel like. And even if you weren't in that moment, I feel like that's even understandable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, again.
Like, whatever you go through, I think, yeah, the idea of us being there is dope and cool. But even, like, if I think about that concept, like, if I was there for that moment, of course I would be there for you. But it's something that I feel like as a man, nah, you need to go and have that and handle that on your own. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and process that in whatever way it happens. And because you are the person you are, I don't see you, like, it being detrimental to you in any way, regardless of your response.
I just know I know... You came around as I started to reform. Uh-huh. Like I just, you know what I'm saying?
Like I'm hearing that.
as an angry person, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not going back there, but it's just like...
But those emotions are raw.
Right. And I may not be the same thing as that angry person, bro. Like, this is pain and trauma. And there's a difference between pain and trauma and responding in a violent or angry manner to something.
As much as with all the work that we've done in dealing with our emotions and identifying what we're feeling, initially, as we grew as men, that the first feeling is anger. So that is what filled me for years.
Right.
Consciously and subconsciously.
Right.
It's a bottled up anger. And then to finally meet him and, you know, have enough respect to go honor thy mother and thy father. Let's have a conversation. And for him to say what he said did nothing but light fire to the anger.
Yeah, it's just like my pops did. Talking about killing me and beating my ass and fucking my mama. Like, that shit was terrible. That was our last conversation. Like, that's what he said.
Yeah, what your girl say last night, though? The admiration has to be louder than the... negativity or something like that.
It rhymed.
Yeah, and it didn't. Shout out to Natrice. So it wasn't that.
it rhymed. It was something like that.
I can't think of
the appreciation
what it is.
Has to be louder than the
agitation.
It was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we got to somehow keep that in mind, even though our emotions are valid. You know what I'm saying?
Like, our emotions are valid. Emotions are 100%
but
valid.
I agree with that. You know what I'm saying? You got to lead with whatever's best for you.
So here's what I worry about. If I'm being honest, what I worry about is him being who he is, which I don't know what that looks like, but having set your ways, having moved into your grown-ass manhood, him being him, and being like not willing to sit back and reflect how, as we
yeah.
have.
Not, he's not. As open no, yeah, he's not. You got to prepare for that.
And that's what I'm saying.
You got to prepare for
he's not.
Yeah, you got to prepare for disappointment, bro.
Which is crazy because, if I'm being honest, my daughter got into this little situation with her mom the other day, and I'm like, babe, it's your job to control your responses. You can't let someone else control your feelings. So in this case, I know you're the child, but you got to be the bigger person. She's like, she's crying, but dad, why do I always got to be the bigger person? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like,
it's the card you dealt.
Right, like in this situation right now, you did something to piss your mom off, and now she's barking at you, and you can't handle it. But you can't let those emotions get the best of you. You have to now control your emotions. You can't let other people control you. Mm-hmm. And then she snapped about that. When you say that, I'm looking back going, but like, nigga, you the dad. Like,
right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you got to be the message, man. It's a lot easier said than done. But you got to be the message, man. You got to be the change you want
to
see.
I'm glad you're getting closer to this, though, bro.
100%.
I'm really glad you're getting closer to this because I think you need this moment. I think whatever it is, you need this
shit. Here's the thing, though, fellas. I don't know what that's going to do to me. Like, I don't know what
can't
benefit.
Anticipate it.
What's the benefit? I can't articulate the benefit in the conversation.
But you're being gravitated to doing it, though.
Right.
And that's what you got to pay attention
to. Right. I just don't know I mean, I'm certain it's going to help one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Even if it starts off as bad, it's still a way to close it. If it ends bad, it's a way to close it. But I don't know.
Well, here's the deal. It's been weighing on you. So if nothing else, you're going to be able to. So I was having this conversation yesterday. Shout out to Bree Brown, one of my partners from my old company.
Shout out to Bree Brown.
We had a conversation. No, I don't have your phone, bro.
You got my phone?
We're recording right now. You can get your phone afterwards.
But I want to show you all the pictures.
I don't need to see you.
We're going to put in an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to email them to you, Ryan.
Anyway, what I was telling her, I was like, I went through something recently with my transition into my new company. And we have an executive coach. Shout out to Toby Quinn. And he was like, bro, you have to release yourself of this pain. You know what I'm saying? Like, this venom that you're holding, you got to release yourself. Now, you can talk to that individual directly and have that conversation with him, or write it down. He was like, write down how that person impacted you. Write it down. And he's like, and then you can share that with him, or you can just hold on to it. But when I did that, bro, when I wrote, I never forget, I was on a plane coming back from New York, and I wrote everything down. And again, not the same situation. But immediately after doing that, like specifically, I wrote down how it impacted me, right? The decisions I made based off what I was told and how I felt about that individual. Mm-hmm. And then how that impacted me. And I wrote that all down. And then once I did that, man, I instantly felt better, right? Yeah. Now, you may do other things on your own, but publicly, you spit venom when it comes to your dad, right? Publicly, right? The whole spit on your grave type shit. Like, that's what, publicly. What I'm saying is, if you haven't, it wouldn't be a bad practice to write down how his absence impacted you. How that comment impacted you.
I think as it pertains to that comment, yes, but when we talk about his absence, it didn't really, hear me out. I'm not trying to hear y'all shit. It didn't really hit me in a place where I thought about it often. It was mm-hmm. so subconscious. It was so subconscious that like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm doing this because my dad wasn't around, or I behaved like this because my dad was around, or what if I had my dad for this? It never was like that. But once we started having these conversations and putting stuff on the table, it's like, okay, that could be because of that. Mm-hmm. It would have been beneficial to have him there for that, or maybe that. You know what I'm saying? So now it's starting to come together. But growing up, it wasn't really like, I wasn't the kid sitting on the porch waiting for my dad to come.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So that's why. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, until we start having these conversations, and though Prentice's relationship is estranged now with his dad, there was one at one time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, my dad's been around forever. So it's like you start hearing these conversations, and you start to say, like, whoa, well, I didn't have that. You didn't know you wanted that or needed that.
Because you didn't have it.
Because it was no... And again, think about it, right? I was one of very few people who had a dad growing up.
Say that again?
Yeah. I said I was one of very few people who had a dad growing up. So you don't know what you don't know.
And you talk about, like, not knowing the benefit, and I'm thinking about it now. My conversation with my dad that led to us not speaking and talking crazy to each other was a result of me trying to tell him how I felt about his absence. When I'm thinking about it, that was the conversation you're getting ready to have is a conversation I had that ended with me having this emotion for these last 3 years. But I'm at a place now where I'm like, again, I find myself in a position where circumstances are telling me, okay, let me reach out again. You know what I mean? Let me just, for the sake of my sister, just be like, yo, I'm not on no ill shit, even though that initial conversation left me worse than I was prior. You know what I mean? So you may get around to a different point.
I'm going to say this real quick, and I know this is going to show up with you because this is how you are. Prentice may have, I feel like you are, put the same expectations that you would have for yourself in that circumstance, if the roles were reversed, on him,
mm-hmm.
and then got disappointed when he didn't respond how you wanted him to respond.
That's exactly what it was.
You know what I'm saying? And that's elevator story, right? Like you will put that expectation on him,
mm-hmm.
and when he doesn't rise to that expectation, you're going to get even more mad.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is this: you can't let these boomers, like these baby boomers, right? You can't expect them to be as emotionally intelligent and in tune as you are.
Yeah,
they grew up in a different generation. Man. They grew up under different circumstances. Yeah. So, like, his I will almost bet with 100% certainty he has not done the work to reconcile with himself his absence with you.
Yeah, so now that begs, so I want to double back and then remember that point. Knowing me in the stereotypical or the studied sense of fight or flight, if I have the conversation with him and he responds like your dad does, there's two things that are going to happen. I'm going to
fire on him.
Walk out, or it's going down.
Right. No. Here's
like, it's nothing to talk about. Like, there's no in between with that,
Chief. You know, newsflash. He's going to respond that way. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
No, I'm talking about as like him. Like, I'll fucking kill you. No. Like,
He didn't get there until Prentice got mad at his response. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like he Prentice didn't confront his dad and he say I fucking kill. No, he got mad. Like what I'm saying
is it escalated.
You're going to speak your piece. And then he's going to respond with, let's just say, an excuse. I told your mom not to have you. I wasn't ready, right? I didn't want you.
I'm not comfortable, but I'm more apt to hearing something like that than raising your voice and threatening me.
Well, I don't think he's going to threaten
you. That's why I took it to his because I don't, like, listen, I told you a minute ago, like, I'm reformed in the sense of, like, I'm not about to, you know, it's not going to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think the key and the difference here is had I gone into that conversation with these type of conversations
prior,
I would have been more prepared. Yeah. You got an advantage because you're having these conversations and you're having your homies tell you, like, you probably ain't going to get what you want. And I went on some 1, 2, 3, here I go. Dad, this is how it made me feel.
He's going to catch me when I jump.
And you got to remember that this whole thing is about you still. You know what I mean? And that's what I didn't have in mind when I was talking to my pops. I didn't have in the back of my head any conversations. This whole thing is about you. This whole shit, regardless of what he says, this is about you getting this relationship in a place so that you can be healthy. And that's what I'm trying to do too.
That's how I know I got work to do, bro. Because like you, they say, you said it yourself. Like growing up, you were labeled the crybaby. Like I'm emotional as fuck.
Yeah.
So if I'm angry... I'm probably gonna cry if I'm emotional. I'm probably gonna cry, and if he in my head right now, like if he doesn't respect that, and I'm like being vulnerable and out there, like I'm triggered at that point.
Knowing me,
I'm triggered at that point, bro.
You gotta probably go into it thinking that you're gonna talk to the most oppositional person you have ever spoken to.
Word.
That's just fact.
That's
bud.
A fact.
Like,
word.
He's gonna be the most oppositional force you face on probably one of the most traumatic issues you've ever had in your life. I don't know how the fuck to deal with that. I don't have the answer, but...
So, with that being said, I think I didn't articulate those words, but in order to prepare myself for that, I opened the door with a conversation with my uncle.
To kind of help me build who I'm going to be speaking to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That makes a lot of sense. That makes a whole lot of sense, but when it comes down to it, all them conversations is cool. You still going to feel them emotions,
because
and you still got to handle yourself. You got to remember it's about you.
The fact is, neither one of them were there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or had the same experience.
Right. And that's I didn't necessarily pay attention to that until she was like, I'm sick of it. And I'm just like, I didn't make a confrontation, but I'm in my head, I'm like, how the fuck are you, how are you sick of it?
Yeah.
And you went, like, you don't
that's
know my story.
Yeah.
You didn't live
that's
my
how
life.
I felt about right. my sister.
You know what I'm saying? We got two complete different stories. I know I'm talking about someone that you adore much more than I do.
But that's not who
but
he
you
is
still
to
have
me.
To respect my you still have to respect my
and that's what I'm talking about, that balance.
You know,
like it's hard when somebody's on the total opposite end of the spectrum. And now I think I have my little sister. And he's raising my little sister, my 13-year-old little sister. He's raising her. Like, she lives with my dad. And I have so much love for her that I feel the need to be extra compassionate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel the need to make sure that she knows everything.
So, yo, I just thought about that. Like, it's almost like, you're kind of like how the situation with Shy right now. Like, I was once given the privilege of being someone's godfather, and I dropped the ball. Mm. It was very inactive, you know what I'm saying? They moved away, but I didn't really keep in touch and blah, blah, blah. So when you asked me about Shy, I'm like, yo, this is great. Now I can kind of redo it. I have that privilege of doing it all over again.
There's your phone.
I know. So my thing is, do you think your pop is doing that? Like, if he know he dropped the ball with you, do you think now it's his chance to make it up with your sister?
I don't know if it correlates with me at all. I'm just happy he's doing something different. And I've always been happy he's doing something different with my sisters. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad to know that it was a... So it's like a catch-22. I'm glad to know that he has the capability of raising a child. But then the flip side is like, damn, this is really a fucking choice. You know what I'm saying? Because right. you had the capability, you really chose
you look like Peanut in that picture.
Not to. That's your pops?
Yeah. You
God
see it?
Dang, you look just like him, bro.
You see it though? Like from the eyes up?
How can I not?
How did you find that picture that fast?
Because it's at the top of my phone thing. But like,
yeah, you I don't know. I don't know. And I hope so. I do hope so. I hope his absence influenced him to pour into my sisters more. I do. You know what I'm saying? Because I would be even more disappointed.
Well, he's present.
He is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta give him
else.
That,
yeah,
right?
Nothing else. He's present.
Like, you gotta give him that. But it's just that flip where it's like, damn, you really chose.
Right. No, maybe he didn't. Again,
we don't know.
Probably know more than I do about mine, like what he's gone through to make him do what he did and back out of your life or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But from his perspective, it might be like, yo, I got a chance to do this all over again and,
yeah,
do, it, and do it right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, how can you be, I don't know, for me, how can you be mad at anybody for that? You know what I mean? For actively doing better. I can be mad about my experience, but I can't be mad that he stepped his shit up with his other children.
Or envious.
Yeah.
That they have something that you don't have.
Yeah. And I don't think I really grew up with that, too. I think, like, for me, it was like you. Like, I didn't grow up being like, you know, this is a moment where I need my dad. You know
right.
what I mean?
No,
he just wasn't there.
Right.
And then
you get older. I'm not going front. And this is going to sound crazy. But there were a couple moments. It might have been like I saw a TV show or something. But a couple moments where like I'm getting ready to go to the football game and I look over and like almost like made myself upset.
Yeah,
thinking he was gonna be there. Like,
yeah,
you ain't never saw
too.
This nigga.
Yeah.
Like, why you know what I'm saying? But like yeah, I really like I distinctly remember coming out of through the gates one day, looking back and hoping he would stand up on the thing by the band.
And it's funny because it'll fuck
definitely
you up.
Delusional.
I was like
wilding.
That too.
Yeah,
I would set myself up for football games to
I
do
was
that.
Wilding.
And I remember when he actually came to my high school graduation. And when he showed up at our graduation, I was like, why is this nigga here? You know what I mean? But I had romanticized this idea about him showing up for events. And then when he came, I was like, all right, bro. Like,
nah, I wouldn't even know how to respond. I mean.
I wonder if you subconsciously did that to mentally prepare you for the game to go have some
that
little, like,
been
anger.
Too.
You know what I'm saying?
That could have been it too. Yeah. But it's crazy because I can see it in my head right now. Like, I'm coming out of the gate and I remember looking over and like, I think, you know what I think it was? I think it was because I saw Mr. Thomas, Eric and Mel's dad standing there.
It was
and
senior like, night?
I don't know, but he was at Mr. Thomas at the games. Like, he came to support. So my man's step pop came up and he was always there. And I saw him and it was just like,
damn.
I just remember that moment. Mm-hmm. Like, when I think about it in my head right now, I see Mr. Thomas right there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But either way, we definitely didn't get to the episode, which I think still works. Cause this
oh, well.
Is, this, you know what I'm saying? We got to figure out.
I mean, this episode was supposed to be about communication, and this is all we talked
about
was communication.
I want to. So we're going to continue this episode because I really do have a revelation that I come to in regards to this particular communication conversation. So
I mean, I think we still
we
got time.
We
got
to tap back into it now.
Time,
I mean, it's 11:55. Yeah. We just did about 40 minutes, so this is a whole episode right here. You know what I'm saying?
35 minutes.
Either way, it'd be good. So look,
doesn't matter. Whatever.
That's my uncle in the middle.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Let me see.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you'd be like, oh yeah, I can see how they're
related.
His brother? That's my dad's brother. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I'll show you my uncle, my mom's side, and you'd be like, damn, like, you do look like both of these cats. And they
that
don't
was
look
like what,
like,
10, 12 years ago.
I got a question. What do you want out of this ultimately? Like, what is the purpose of this?
I think I want to be able to walk away going, I don't hold this sense of bitterness anymore.
Like to get rid of it.
I'm aware, I've become more and more aware of these daddy issues as we've had these conversations.
Mm.
And I do believe, whether I want to acknowledge it or not, it's impacted me in a way that shapes how I move.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And if I can find some information about him that'll help me be me, then I'm moving, or me be a better me,
mm-hmm.
or explain why I do some of the things that I do,
mm-hmm.
then it might help me out in a sense. And either way, it's still a way to close the gap between the disdain that I have for a man I never met.
I was gonna ask you, Bill, when you listen to us talk about like this whole absentee father shit, is it
having a dad ass nigga?
Like, right. It's, yeah, you know,
you
have a
you
father
ain't really
ass
been through the struggle.
Yeah. This nigga got a hug and shit when he was growing up.
You got hugs, but
when you hear this, but do you relate to? I mean, and obviously you don't relate to not having a father, but are there similarities? Like, when you have a father, do you... I know this sounds crazy, but I'm like, when you have a father, does it? Do you go through this?
We really just like, hey man,
I'm really curious.
Hey man, what's it like having a dad?
Like, what's it like? Does he kiss you on the cheek, the forehead, the temple?
I can't envision OG being that like affectionate. But
so to answer your question, and I got two questions, I wrote them down, so I'll get that back. I'll get back to you on that. But to answer your question, here's a reality, bro. So my dad. Obviously, I talked about an episode before. When I was born, my dad was in prison. And
college.
Yeah, right. When he was growing up, he would tell my daughter he was in college for 4 years. But yeah.
That's hilarious.
State of Connecticut Correctional Facility.
Yeah. College.
So yeah, he
out of all places.
Yeah. Right, college, exactly. Not to mention, my dad has like an elementary school education. It's like this is going to say he went to college. Like, the audacity.
Did she ever ask him what school? Did he make up a school?
No, she learned very quickly that he ain't going to nobody
he
college.
He was lying.
Well, while I was I was in Penn State, not the State Penn.
Yeah.
That's where he was at.
Yeah. So he was the state of Connecticut for sure. Ward of the state of Connecticut. But anyway, when I hear this, it's interesting, man, because though my father was present, a lot of those things that you guys experienced are still relevant. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I talked to my dad yesterday, and because he called me and I missed the call. He's, oh no, I called you on accident. I'm like, all right, well, what's up? Like, what you got going on? You know what I'm saying? He's, oh, and I'm just sitting around the house, yada yada yada. But my dad, he not affectionate. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dad struggled. Like, if my dad was absent, mm-hmm. like if my dad found out he had a kid and he wanted to have that conversation, it would not go well, because my dad don't know how to, so my dad's not educated, so he doesn't have the words to articulate his feelings. Mm-hmm. So typically it gets, I'll give you a perfect example. My dad is the dude where if I got hurt, like I fell, like an accident, like I slipped on water in the floor, in the house, and I fell and heard a loud boom and he was in the other room. He would jump up in anger, like, what the hell's going on? What's wrong with you? How'd you do? Because he doesn't know how to express, like, oh my God, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't know how to do that.
And that's what he means.
That's what he means. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have the vocabulary to articulate himself in that manner. So that's why he's always been, well, he's old now, but for his, you know, adolescent years, his 20s and 30s, he's always violent. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the bully's bully, even though he's like 5'10". Mm-hmm. Like, there's all kinds of stories about this dude terrorizing neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but the thing is, he doesn't. So I'm hearing all these things, and he's present. He did the best he could. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't have the vocabulary or the emotional intelligence like I'm talking about. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not gonna go how you think it's gonna go, and not because your dad doesn't. Not because he doesn't harbor those feelings, right, of resentment and love or whatever the case. He just may not be in a place where he can, one, get to the emotion to express it. That's one. Or two, know how to even express it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Like, so with my dad, he can't sit and have a conversation. Like, I'll give another example. One day he was telling my mom I owed him money. Picture me owing my dad some money, right? Like, he was saying I owed him some money for something, right? So I knew I couldn't go at him and like, y'all don't owe you no money, Dad. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that. So what I did, I gave him a couple dollars. I'm like, look, this is for this and this and this. I gave you this. We straight. I don't owe you. You don't owe me. Mm-hmm. And he just gave me a hug and said, thanks. You know what I'm saying? But if I would have took another approach, and I'm like, nah, Dad, I don't owe you shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gave you this, 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 and this. But what I did, I know him. So I gave him
$40.
$40? Because that's his magic number. Like, if he asked me for money, it's $40. Like, now he'll $40 me to death, but it's $40. He'll never ask for nothing more than that. So I knew, like, if I give him $40, because, again, I don't have resentment towards him, so I know how to manage those conversations.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a difference.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, let me just give him a couple. Like, this $40 ain't gonna hurt me. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna give him $40, tell him that we straight. And then his response was, he gave me a hug and was like, thanks, Duke, I appreciate it. But if I would have took any other approach, he would have turned up.
Hit me some smoke
in the
city.
That's the difference, though. I realize right there, that's the difference. We got resentment. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. so our conversations mm-hmm. are, they can't be the same because there's always going to be pocket where our pops, where that resentment is going to have to show because, nigga, now you saying some shit that is way out of pocket right. and I already have resentment. I'm already up here trying and now you testing my motherfucking patience.
So it's pride and ego too, though.
You add that resentment on top of these years of anger and look and some anger issues. Like, what happens? Like, how do you, you know what I'm saying?
I'm about to find out.
Which is why I have to prepare myself via my uncle and my sister.
That's
and
be a like, smart move.
You gotta eat baby steps, bro.
Also, have you talked to your therapist about this?
Yeah. Like, well, she, remember how... Not about this, about talking to my uncle or whatever, but remember how she was like, you got to talk to your mom. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't talk to my mom about my dad till 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to talk to her, too. Like, I feel like you got to get some of this stuff out. Because my other question is going to be, have you written down the impact he's had on you?
No.
I will start there, bro.
And which is weird, because obviously with the poetry I have, but not
from a different place.
Not from that place.
From a different place.
It's definitely a different conversation to be held. And honestly... I don't know if that's something I want to put on stage. And what's wild about that is...
I'm not saying for stage. I'm saying for you.
So here's the thing. Because we're so used to performing and being out in the public space and putting these emotions out there, I have been reluctant to write about it because as much as I've vilified him with my poetry, this is something a little bit more personal because now I'm disclosing my feelings. But remember, I was talking to P about when I was going through with my kids' mothers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I want to write about it, but I don't think I can because I don't want to vilify these women. And he's like, yo... Everything ain't for the stage.
That's a fact.
And I'm like, yo, like it was mind blowing to me. Like, uh-huh. I got so comfortable writing poetry to perform, but not realizing that, yo, you're a writer. Journal it out. Get it out. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's going to be my thing. I might even do it on a plane ride back and just kind of get it out then. It might even pull from that to use in the conversation that we had. Mm. But I don't think writing it and like giving it to him makes a difference. Anything I say to him, he has to hear.
From you.
From me.
Yeah.
And I just have to prepare myself for his responses because I feel like everything in me says it's not going to go the way I want it to go. And now I got to prepare myself to address that anger, sadness, or whatever comes with that in that moment because I know me.
Bro, I feel like once you write that down, I personally feel like a weight will be lifted, personally. And I think you'll be able to go into that conversation with a clearer head. And if nothing else, you got it on paper.
That's true. Saying?
Like if nothing else.
All right, so that's fair. I think we got so much more work.
We took a check in
and made it a whole episode. That's crazy.
I just let you know it was heavy.
Nah, but I think it was good though. But like, so if I can ask though, I'm not sure if I haven't decided whether or not I want you guys around, but I do think having your support would make it easier for me to control my emotions.
I get that.
You mean you want me to be like in the same town when it's happening?
No, like in the room. Like because I could this is what I can see.
But if I'm in the room, bro, his defense mechanism is gonna be even higher.
Yeah, what that look like?
So this is what I see in my head. I knew this was gonna happen. I flip all this shit.
Yeah, see, you might get that.
Flip the whole table over.
But I also think if we're there, it will be worse.
Do you think so?
I think so.
No.
It'll heighten your pride, ego, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, man. I think so.
With all the work that we've done, I really feel like you guys will keep me level-headed. It'll bring me back to a place where it's like, yo, like don't go there. Because without that restraint, without the bodyguards in the room,
If it's going down, let's get it over with.
Like he can't have him walk into
So that's why I'm going through my uncle and then my sister and might have my sister prep him for the conversation.
Or maybe
then,
have her there. Because
I took my sister to hire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So she'll mess around cuss them both out.
I ain't talking none of you motherfuckers no more.
I don't want that. So anyways, I appreciate y'all dudes, man. This was a much needed conversation. And
yeah, for sure.
Obviously, I'll keep you posted as to how it goes in the future. Let us know how it goes with your pop, though. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I will.
This is Daddy Issues episode.
If y'all want to talk to my pops for practice, let me know.
You got the father.
Yeah, I loan him out.
No. Per usual, y'all. Prentice, let's go. You go first. Final thought, man.
We still got so much more work to do, man. I be thinking I'm so healed with my dad, man. And then we have these conversations, and I be like, how far have I really came? You know what I mean? That's my final thought. But I'm still working at it, so I'm good.
That's a fact.
Go ahead.
My final thought is keep people around that can help you level set. Like, keep people around that can help you level set and that may have experiences that you don't, and that will be a good sounding board. Because, you know, if left to our own devices, man, we could fly off the handle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is why I ask for y'all support, because I'm out here struggling. For me, I think it's those mirror conversations are important, man. Like, I've had conversations with myself and realized that I need to push forward and do some things for myself to help myself heal. And I'm holding on and harboring things that have been with me for a long time. And I got around some good people who helped me identify those things. And now it's time to address those problems head on. Mm. And that's where I'm at. So
proud of you, man.
Yeah,
I'm moving in a good direction, man. I appreciate that. Don't be calling you back like, I ain't doing nothing no more. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hoping it stays that way.
I'm going to be close whenever that conversation. I don't want to be in the room, but I'll be close. Maybe I'll be
in the room.
Maybe I'll be out in the driveway. No, we don't need you in the room. Like,
it's not my dad, so I'm cool.
Still, yeah, man. He's right, though. He's good when it's not his shit.
Yeah, if it's not my shit, I'm good.
When it's not his, he's good at calming the situation down.
Yeah, bro, chill.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you want something too?
Yeah,
sure. You can get it too.
Man, you owe me some money? No, but here you go.
Right. But yeah, man, this has been another episode of All Black Men Need Therapy. Hit up the website, www.abmnt.com. Get yourself some merch.
Subscribe
to our YouTube channel. Follow us on all social media outlets at All Black Men Need Therapy. Hit the voice line if you need it. We have a text to voice line, 860-410-6160. We are available. Shout out, before we even end the episode, shout out to our man Xavier. We met him last night. He's a huge supporter of the podcast.
He
pulled up.
In.
And
there.
I didn't even see him. He pulled up. And
pulled up with the merch on,
He pulled up with the merch on. And yo, he's a solid cat, man. It was a pleasure to meet him. And you know, we don't realize the impact we have on people until they meet us in person and actually spread that love. So it was real dope to meet the brother, man. He's here today. And we're going to get him on the episode. We're going to get him on the episode one time.
Yeah,
and make it happen. Nevertheless, y'all, we here. And do us all a favor. Hug a black man today.
Do it.
And tomorrow.
Do it.
We out, y'all.
Peace.